In Luke chapter number one, I want to take just a few minutes tonight, look at Mary. We looked last Sunday night at all that Jesus entailed, which was told us by the names that he would be known by. There in Isaiah, we looked Wednesday night at Joseph, and I want to look just a few moments tonight at Mary. Shouldn't be too long, but I just want to spend just a few moments looking at what Mary can show us about us. In Luke chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 26. And it says, "And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." You know, we hear nothing about Mary until the time that the angel appears unto her and begins to inform her what's going to happen. From out of nowhere, from out of obscurity, she's brought into the forefront of the gospel story. She's going to be the one that bears the blessing of the Lord in her body and shares that blessing with the world. She's the one who is revered by many around the world, and many people worship and relegate all types of power and things unto her that the Bible doesn't tell us about. The Bible never speaks of. But what the Bible does show us and what the Bible tells us is some very simple things just right here in the Christmas narrative that are important for us to grasp for our own lives. Mary teaches us that God uses anyone. You don't have to be somebody. You don't have to have a title. You don't have to come from this family or that family. You don't have to be this color or that color, this race or that race. God uses anybody and everybody for his purpose. Aren't you glad tonight that God uses people? Amen. If he had no use for people and he didn't need us, there'd be no need for us to be here. There'd be no need for us to be a witness and to tell people about Jesus. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit will use anyone that he deems necessary for his purpose and for his glory. You see, Mary wasn't chosen because of who she was. She was chosen because of what she was going to do. She wasn't chosen because she was perfect and sinless and everything else that many make her out to be. She was just an everyday common young lady, young woman, just like many of the young ladies here in our church. They're everyday young women. They're just young people who are going about life. She was a spouse to a husband. She was a spouse unto Joseph, and she already had plans, but her plans got interrupted. See, God doesn't care about our plans. He doesn't care about who we are. He will use anyone to his purpose. And you know, there's people sitting here tonight, what few of us there are. And God's got a purpose and a use for each and every one of you. And he will use you. You don't have to be somebody special. The Bible says over in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, as Peter has been taught this lesson of God, that God is no respecter of persons. Amen. He come to the realization that God, it doesn't matter to God what matters to man. It doesn't matter to God what men perceive. Paul perceived going to see Cornelius as an abomination, that he was going to keep company with a Gentile, and he had never polluted himself, he said. He'd never dirtied his hands and never dirtied himself with the Gentiles. And God said, they're clean. When I say they're clean, when I say they're to be ministered to, they're to be ministered to. When I say they're the ones to go to, they're the ones to go to. And when God brought Peter through this place and through this lesson, Peter came out and said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Over in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 11, the Apostle Paul writes several years later, God is no respecter of persons. Sometimes we read the Bible and we see the people in the Bible, and well, they were special. David was special. No, David was just a shepherd boy that God chose to use. Amen. David was the one that God picked. We see the different Abraham. Think about Abraham for just a moment. He lived in a society that worshipped strange gods and worshipped idols, but God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. God uses anyone for his purpose. And tonight, just because you're sitting here and you don't have some a great talent, or you don't have some great ability, you don't have a great mind, or you don't have this and you don't have that, and we can make all the excuses in the world. Moses said, I'm not a great speaker, but God said, I'm going to use you anyway. Amen. Amen. Mary teaches us that God will use anyone for his purpose. Over in verse 48, Mary says, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Mary knew who she was. Mary knew that she lived in this obscure little village called Nazareth. She knew that she was a nobody, but yet God was going to choose her to be somebody that would be remembered through the ages. And we don't have a whole lot said about Mary. There's not a whole lot that we hear about Mary. We hear about the Christmas story, the Christmas account, and Mary gives birth to Jesus. We hear about when Jesus was 12 years old, well, 8 days old, they take him to fulfill the commandments of God, to have him circumcised. We read when he's 12 years old that they were taking him to worship. She was teaching him how to serve God and how to love his father and how to worship God. Amen. And then we see as a grown man that she was kind of in the backdrop. And when she come to see him, they said, your mother and your brethren are here to see you. And he looked around at the multitude and said, this is my mother. This is my brethren here. She was relegated back to a place of somewhat obscurity, but praise God, she's remembered. Amen. Amen. She didn't go around walking on water. She didn't go around healing people. She didn't go around prophesying or doing anything that people think is spectacular. What she did was what God had told her to do and what God had chosen her to do. She gave birth to the Son of God, and that was all that she needed to do to fulfill what God wanted her to do. Folks, we don't have to be somebody for God to use us. We just got to be willing to surrender and submit ourselves, which we'll get to here shortly. Now, the Catholics have Mary built up that she was a perpetual virgin, that Mary was sinless and was perpetually sinless. And there's nowhere in the Bible that that's taught. That's just some more of man's interfering with God's word and God's plan. The reason Mary was chosen is right there in verse number 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among men." Now, I've got things that I favor, things that are my favorites. You know, one of my favorite foods to eat is pinto beans. You all know that. It's God's perfect food. Amen. Unlike that accursed thing. Everybody thinks it's so great. Amen. You all know what the accursed thing is, don't you? It's zucchini. When you read in the Bible and you read about an accursed thing in the Bible, it's a zucchini. It's got to be. It's got to be. But pray, I got some things that are my favorite things. My wife knows a lot of things that are my favorite things. Favorite foods, favorite meals. I got favorite clothes. Everybody's got favorite clothes you like to wear. I like to wear work clothes. I come in from a hard day's work. I go to the house. I get a shower. You know what I put on? Work clothes. To sit around the house all evening. You know what I put on when I get up in the morning? Work clothes. Amen. And when I take them off and I get my shower and I get cleaned up at the end of the day and I want to sit around the house all evening, what do I put on, Ella? Work clothes. Work clothes. Amen. If you don't see me at church or visiting somewhere or going somewhere for a church function, most of the time you'll see me in work clothes. Some people get amazed sometimes. They come to church and they see me out somewhere. "Pastor Dennis, I've never seen you in work clothes." I said, "Why, if you come around and hang around me much, you'd see me more in work clothes than you wore these clothes." Amen. They're my favorites. But see, God's not talking about that. He doesn't have favorites because he is no respecter of persons. Amen. But that word favor here in verse 28, it says, "Thou hast found favor with God." In verse 30, "Thou art highly favored." That word favor and favored comes from a Greek word, and I'll try to get this right. Charito. Charito. Which means favor, favorable, favored. But it comes from a root, the first part. It comes from a word, charis, which means grace. What that word, "thou art highly favored," means is that grace is bestowed upon you. Go study it out. I'm not just preaching. This is the truth. I looked this up. It means that grace is bestowed upon you. Grace is poured out upon you. God is going to use you. God is going to work to you because he's bestowed his grace upon you. And, you know, the Bible says when we need more grace, he gives more grace. Amen. He said, "You're highly favored." Praise God. I'm glad when God wants to do something through us and he wants to do something with us, he'll give us the grace that we need to sustain us in going through what we're going to go through. Do you realize what Mary was about to face? She was going to face criticism. She was going to face gossip. She was going to face rejection. She was going to face everything that we dread. As a matter of fact, she could have feasibly been stoned and put to death. But God's grace was on her. God's grace had been bestowed upon her. You know, when God has something for you to do, and He has something for us to do, but sometimes we don't want to listen. Amen. He calls us into service, but sometimes we don't submit and we don't surrender. You know that individual that is real hard and God told you to witness to? And you're kind of afraid to witness to them. You're kind of scared of them almost. Or maybe you're afraid of the retribution that might come. If God has called you to do it, do it. His grace will see you through it. His grace will be sufficient. Amen. You know that family member that you've been trying to witness to and you've been trying to convince that they need Jesus in their life and they just keep ridiculing you, making fun of you. When God tells you to speak to them, speak to them. Witness to them. Tell them about Jesus. I've read it before. I just read Brother Sam Vance's, Brother Dale's dad. I just read his testimony at the little pamphlet back there in my office. And man, he told how his brother-in-law and sister-in-law come to visit with them, and he was a drunk. He's a heavy drinker. They come to visit with him, and they convinced him and his wife to go visit the church, and they lived right outside of Washington there, Loudoun County. And they went to church, and he didn't know it, but they had asked the church to keep visiting them, to keep coming back. He said, the first time they come, he said, I run them off. He said, the second time they come, I told my wife to run them off. He said, the third time they come, are you getting it? God said His grace would get you through the rejection. His grace would get you through the being run off. But if you keep just clinging to His grace and you keep just doing what He wants you to do, His grace will always be sufficient. He told Mary, He said, you're highly favored. God has given you all the grace that you're going to need to do what He wants you to do. I want you to know that right off. Before I tell you what He wants you to do, I'm going to let you know that His grace will be sufficient. His grace will be more than what you need. You know what Mary teaches us? To depend upon the grace of God. We depended on it for our salvation. Amen. Can't we depend upon it to do what God has chosen us and privileged us and allowed us to do? And them same deacons that went and visited Brother Sam, after that third visit, he was under conviction so bad that one night God just spoke to his heart. He got saved. He went back to that church the next morning and he walked in that church and he woke his wife up that night and told her that he got saved. She said, Sam, go back to bed. You're drunk. Amen. He couldn't sleep all night. He got up early the next morning, got dressed. When she woke up, he was already dressed and ready to go to church. And she said, something really did happen to you or something like that. And he said, yeah. I said, come on, we're going to church. He went to church and he went and told them two deacons that had come and visited with him and come and told him about Jesus, who didn't give up because he run him off, who didn't give up because his wife had run him off, who trusted in the grace of God to allow him to do what God wanted him to do, and had told him about Jesus, and he got saved, and he told them, and they took him down to the front of the church so he could tell the whole church that he got saved. And that one deacon ask him to be his visitation partner. Hey, man. You see what the grace of God can do? It won't only change you. Hey, man. It will sustain you in everything that God has for you to do. But in verse number 38, Mary says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." You see, God's got something for us to do. And I haven't read anywhere in the Bible where God drug anybody kicking and screaming to do what he wanted them to do. Some went with doubts. Some went with fears. Some of them had to be convinced. Anybody ever lay a fleece at the Lord's feet? Convince me, God. Some had to be convinced. But none of them were drugged, screaming and hollering. Am I wrong? They had the same fears, the same doubts, the same worries we did, but they were trusting in God. Here am I, Lord, send me. Who else is going to go if we don't go? Who else is going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish? Sure, he can always find somebody. But he's chose you. He's chose me. Who's going to tell our community? Who's going to tell our families? Who's going to tell our friends about Jesus if we don't? Mary said, "If this is what the Lord wants me to do, then so be it." Amen. God says we're to be a light to a lost and a dying world. We're to be the salt, the savor, the preserving force, the preserving power in a lost and a dying world. Jesus says we're to go into all the world and tell them about Jesus. And if we don't go and if we don't do it, who's going to? Amen. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's lonely. I guess most people here at one point or another, except for the kids, have worked in the secular world. You ever been the only Christian on the job? It's not an easy place to be sometimes. Amen. You ever been the only one that tries to live according to God's word? Kids in school, sometimes you're the only one. Everybody else is going and running after the things of the world, and you're the only one that stands for Jesus. It's not easy. It's not popular. But it's what God wants you to do. And if you don't do it, who's going to? If you don't do it, who will? Peter said, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." Amen. See, he didn't choose all the famous and the rich and the powerful and the people in the know. He chose you and me. He didn't choose all the people of society of Mary's day. He chose Mary. And she humbled herself unto God to be the one that was going to make a difference to a lost and a dying world. And I have no doubt, had she refused and rejected and run the other way, we might have read a word or two about her. And then we might have read about a Linda. We might have read about a Deborah. Might have read about another Mary. Maybe a Carlina, a Sherry, a Carly, a Pam. You don't know. Maybe you read about somebody else. But God's purpose would have been fulfilled. But why do we remember Mary? We remember her because she did what God told her he wanted her to do. She had to face her betrothed husband. We talked about this Wednesday night. Joseph, man, I'm pregnant. What? Pregnant? How could this be? Well, you don't understand that this is of the Holy Spirit. What? Adultery? Blasphemy? What kind of a nonsense are you bringing to me? But it's the truth. It's the truth. And God confirmed it to be the truth. Amen. But she had to deal with that. No doubt, her mom and dad. What? Her brothers and sisters. What? Can you imagine? All the what's? Really? She went through a lot. She dealt with a lot to do what God wanted her to do. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. So be it. Mary said, so be it. So be it unto me according to thy word. Whatever God wants to do, let him do it. But Peter says that he may exalt you in due time. You see, Mary was a nobody that God made a somebody. And though her role in all the canon of scriptures and all the gospel that we have, her role was just a small part. It was just to give birth and to take care of the baby Jesus for that short time. It meant the world. It meant life. It meant hope to everybody else. See, God didn't ask her for her ability. And he don't want your ability. He wants your availability. God doesn't want you to work in your own power and in your own knowledge. He wants you to surrender yourself and work in his. God don't want you to go testifying to people when he tells you to be still. But he don't want you to be still when he tells you to go testifying. Why do we remember Mary tonight? Because she humbled herself under the will of God. And she done just what God would have her to do. And tonight, Mary reminds us and Mary teaches us that we don't have to be somebody of great worldly importance for God to use. Mary reminds us and teaches us that the grace of God will always be sufficient to accomplish what God wants us to do. The will of God won't lead you where the grace of God can't keep you. And Mary teaches us when we humble ourselves to what God wants us to do, he can cause great things to happen. The greatest birth, the greatest miracle, the greatest gift. We could go on and on and on about everything that transpired because Mary was willing to let God have his way. That's the message tonight. Let God have his way. Mary teaches us. Mary shows us. Mary proves to us that though we may think of ourselves as nothing, God can lift us up. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He knew who he was choosing. He knew he would sustain her. And he knew what she'd become. He knows who you are. He knows what you need. And all you need to do is surrender yourself. Submit yourself. Say, Lord, here I am. I know I'm not much, but I'm yours. Do with me what you will. So stand our feet.